Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Joining us now on the hotline is the manager of the first place New York Mets down in Atlanta for three games. Buck Showalter, it's Craig and Evan on the Fan up in New York City. How you been, Buck?
Good, man. How are you? We got in here finally, and everybody got to bed about 6 a.m. and wow. See what happens.
6 a.m., day off, and then it's a three-game series, ostensibly to win the division. Give Met fans a sense of how you feeling right now about how the guys are after last night's huge come-from-behind win. All the the news circling about the storm, and are we moving the game? Are we not moving the game? And the kind of state of mind your team has as you get ready for these three games.
Well, first of all, guys, in the circles, it's not an off day. It's just a day you don't play a game. Okay?
What's the difference?
There's a big difference, trust me. If you'd have been in this room, this hotel room, you'd have known what I'm talking about. But this is the first break I've gotten. I hope it's going to be a break. No, but everybody's, you always take a pulse for the team a little bit and very proud of. They've worked very hard to get this opportunity, and that's what we look at it as. And there's games after this. There were games before that we turned the page on, and you live in a world that it's a what have you done to me lately world. They understand that, and you take that on when you have these opportunities. So the pressure is what you make of it. It's a privilege. A lot of people would love to be in our shoes. So regardless, our guys have had a great season. They're going to get a chance to roll the dice in October. We'll see from what angle it'll be. But the weather looks good here.
Yeah.
And I grew up around hurricanes, and I kept telling people 5 or 6 days ago, guys, it's going to change 4 or 5 times. Don't get too bogged down in it. And it has. And at the end of the day, we'll all play 162 and see where you are when the smoke clears.
What went into the decision to move Jacob DeGrom to tomorrow night?
Didn't really move him. He's getting an extra day's rest.
Well, but you're moving Chris Bassitt back 2 days, so you move the rotation.
Not really. But we've been kind of moving things around according to the needs of our players and where they are physically and knowing a lot of things that we certainly don't go out there publicly about. But, there's a lot of things that we know about. And we're in a good place, and this is our best foot forward. If you look at all the way things change from night to night, it gives us the most versatile opportunity to go a lot of different directions as the season progresses and be able to put our best foot forward.
Does it open up a scenario where game 162 matters, you'll pitch Jacob DeGrom, even at the risk of losing that game and having the wild card series start in 2 days? Is that on the table?
Everything's on the table. That's why we did it this way. Also, if you look at Chris Bassitt, has pitched more innings at any point in his career, and trying to make sure that he can put his best foot forward like he has for us most of the year. And we've used every opportunity to stop and look at each pitcher and see how we can serve their needs and keep them healthy and keep them on the field, not only our starters but with our bullpen. And I'm pretty proud of the health of our pitching staff right now as we stand here in the 150s games. So it's been done to put ourselves with an opportunity to have everybody healthy and put our best foot forward, whatever situation may present itself.
Do you feel comfortable? I think Jake's thrown 100 pitches once. I know he wore down against the Pirates last weekend, but do you feel comfortable pushing Jacob DeGrom maybe a little bit more than we've seen in the starts he's made since his return?
Depends on what you call pushing. You know, we'll take the games and we'll look at them as it progresses. The other team usually tells you how a pitcher's doing. And I hope we have that decision to make. But, you know, you got to get cooperation from the other team, and that doesn't always happen. Pitching in the big leagues three or four times around the order is very difficult and very rare. If anybody could do it, it would be Jake. But we'll do what's best for our team, and we'll do what's best for the health of our players.
I know Jake is probably a victim of his own dominance, that when he has a start in which he looks like a human being, we all react. I know I was like, oh, my God, that's not Jacob DeGrom. What was your reaction to what happened against the A's? And I guess coupled with the last thing against the Pirates, but really that game against Oakland.
You know, if you know Jake, he doesn't get involved in excuses. I think what people miss is how competitive he is. I think when he's pitching, because he makes it look so fluid and sometimes effortless, and it's not, that we expect, you know, it's just such a rare thing. And these are the best hitters in the world. And there were a lot of factors that figure into to things that are in the past. And we're looking forward to him pitching tomorrow night like we are Max the next night and Bass the next night. And Jake's just, you know, it's kind of tough if you think about it, guys. You go out there every night and people just think he's just going to throw his glove out there and people are going to, you know, kneel at his feet. That doesn't happen. And he knows that. And he takes that on. But it's remarkable to me from a team standpoint and from individual standpoints when people do what they're expected to do. You know, the biggest, I think one of my biggest fondnesses of teams that win when they're supposed to win, when everybody says they're going to win, because there's such a mental edge the other team has when they're playing with house money. That's why you're so careful in advance meetings and not painting really good pitchers like Max Fried tomorrow night as unhittable and unbeatable. You know, sometimes I've said to guys, well, when they got through talking, I said, well, we got no chance tonight.
Right.
Go out there and have some fun and make sure nobody gets hurt, and we'll try tomorrow night.
Talking to Buck Showalter, manager of the New York Mets. Mets getting ready for a three-game series. It's Fried and DeGrom, Scherzer, Kyle Wright. And then on Sunday, you know, obviously weather permitting, it looks like the weather's going to be fine. It's Chris Bassett and Charlie Morton. You know, Buck, I always wonder this. You know, this is a franchise that has not been involved in a pennant race like this all that often, if ever. And for the last month or so, 5 weeks, it's been literally every day up one, down one, up two, up one, down one. You know, up and down between you guys and the Atlanta Braves. And I know for a lot of teams, especially teams that don't have a lot of experience going through that, it can be emotionally and mentally draining. And I'm wondering, as you take stock of this team, if at any point you felt that they looked to you to be tired.
I think they pretty much answered that question. Everybody's, you know, challenged physically and emotionally and mentally this time of year. You know, the teams that are really tired are the teams that aren't playing in the playoffs, that are going home when the season's over. You know, we all don't know what we can push ourselves to until we're asked to. And this is a normal thing to do in your body. We're playing over 200 games, you know, counting spring training. I mean, I chuckle at football coaches who might make the mistake of saying around me, geez, we just weren't ready to play this week. This week? was that before or after your off week?
You know? Yeah.
I mean, it's that type of sport. It's what separates it. And you can't get bogged down into putting too much stock in one thing or the other, because it's about shortening your bad times and stretching out your good times. And nobody's as good as the game they make you think you are sometimes, and nobody's as bad. So, you know, it's a good self-evaluation. And our guys have stayed in the moment, and I'm very proud of them.
So tomorrow night, Max Fried, ace of the Braves, we mentioned it. Who's the right-handed DH tomorrow night?
Well, you have to wait and see, won't you?
It can't be Darren Ruff, right? I mean, it can't be. And no offense to him, I'm sure there's a big adjustment when you're traded. He's been awful.
Barron's down the hall. Let me get him down here.
No, I mean, I tell him, I would say it respectfully, but he's been terrible.
Oh, it'd be great if you went and got him, by the way.
And I would say the same thing, Darren.
By the way, do you think that's respectful?
Yes.
You know how good Darren is at what he does?
Yes, I do. That's why I liked the trade at the time, but he hasn't hit here.
Yeah, that's true.
And you haven't played him. Like, I think over the last few days, you've shown that. You've given Vientos an opportunity, which is right. I agree with you.
Well, I think you guys will it'll be revealed to you when the right time comes what direction we're going to go.
In all seriousness about Ruff, because I like the trade, so I have to own that. Like, he crushes left-handed pitching. There's a reason why, as a fan, I was like, I love that deal. He's struggling. I'm sure being traded at the trade deadline, it's not easy. For you as a manager, when you make a decision on, all right, who am I putting out there in the lineup? He has a track record, which I do respect. And then you've got a kid in Vientos who's showing something. You know, I see him at the plate, and there's been progress. I didn't have a hit last night. How do you make that decision between a kid who's at 25 plate appearances at the major league level and a guy who absolutely has a resume against left-handed pitching, but the reality is he hasn't hit over the last 2 months?
Well, it's tough. You can try to push the envelope and play Darren in right field and get them both in there, but, you know, Darren's an adequate out there, but he's not as good as some other people. Usually my tiebreaker is defense. Usually the tiebreaker is defending, because that's usually what shows its head, but that's the beauty of baseball. You can't make the at-bat fall to your best hitter, and you can't make the ball be hit to your best defenders. You know, it's an ultimate team sport. But, no, you take everything in, and you try to put your best foot forward. There's a lot of things that I know that other people don't know when we come through the decision-making process from day to day. But, this isn't about living to fight another day. It's in the here and now, because there isn't games 50, 60, 70 games from now. Some things you do for the long haul. I've always said there's about four different ways you manage. You manage in the spring. You manage in a regular season. It used to be this awful thing called September call-up baseball. You had 38 guys.
Oh, I remember, yes. Yes.
Thank God they came to their senses there.
Amen.
Barry Francona would still be in Boston, I think, if we hadn't had 38 players on the roster in Baltimore in 2012.
I remember.
It was sad. I felt bad about it, because it wasn't right. And so we'll see. And then the postseason, and when the game's dwindled down, there's a little different approach there, too.
You bring up managing differently now, because obviously every game matters. You're managing who gives you the best chance to win. Has, in your opinion, Tomas Nito earned the, hey, that's my everyday catcher, based on his defense? I think his clutch hitting ripped that double last night. He's hit a lot better the last few weeks. Do you view him as a guy that's earned the most of the time catcher's job?
Well, he's gotten his fair amount, and probably a little bit more than Mac. You know, we keep waiting. We keep thinking that, Mac's got a couple of injuries that right at a really bad time, and he's never been able to get back to that track record he's had of hitting, you know, before he came to New York. So I'm certainly aware that Tomas is hitting well, especially against left-handed pitching, and I'll keep that in mind.
With Marte, because I think this is really important, because it kind of solves a lot of the issues. When Marte's healthy, he's in right field, makes the lineup fit better. When he can grip a bat, which I hope that's tomorrow, but obviously he's got to grip a bat, how long before being able to grip a bat and throw a baseball before you could realistically expect him to be in the lineup?
I don't know, what, about 15 minutes?
Good. That's what I want to hear.
That's what I want to say. Talking to Buck Showalter few moments.
Guys,
go ahead, Buck.
Let me, I try to keep in mind, and I tell people that he has a broken bone, okay? And people say this time, we have doctors that weigh in the usual healing process and what have you. It's little by little, and he's not going to play here in Atlanta, but who knows? He may come down to my room, knock on the door, says, I don't feel a thing. Let's go. And it's going to be a pretty quick process once he's able to grip a bat and throw a baseball.
Are you, because I was jokingly saying yesterday when the update was, boy, there's, he's not coming back yet. I got pissed at Mitch Keller, because I think back to him hitting him. And it's become famous this year. Every time you guys get hit, we see your image looking rather upset,
well,
rightfully so.
I don't look at that. What is that?
Well, basically, they show your face every time I'm
you look
hit.
Like Tom Coughlin, really? In Green Bay 8 years ago on the sideline, not happy and red-faced.
You look mad, and rightfully so.
Well, it does make me mad, but you know what's funny, guys? Through the years, I could be picky and say three or four. I don't think one of them has been intentional. Everybody's got some personal opinions about why there's so many more hit by pitches. We're not breaking the record. We're shattering. Unfortunately, we're going to put it at a level that nobody's ever going to reach.
You're right.
Even though Mike Puma reminded me in 1889, somebody had more.
1889.
Hey, Buck, tell me, just walk me through, because we didn't get to talk to you right after the game. What was going through your head when the first base umpire said, balk, 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 run.
I got to tell you, it doesn't really surprise me from a standpoint. They sent out an edict about 10 or 12 days ago. I don't know how they got to this point in game 148 at the time that all of a sudden they were going to start bearing down on it. And we were told that there'd been a lot of, I don't know what you want to say, people not adhering to the rule, and they're going to start enforcing it harder. In fact, the home plate umpire told McCann that night that, you know, hey, we're just doing what they're telling us to do.
Right.
I know, and it's like I told Donnie Mattingly, I said, be sure to tell Richard I wasn't the one that raised
the ball. He probably thinks it. Was there?
You know,
Go ahead, bud.
But Richard, you know, it's a pretty much the same delivery Richard's been using for 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
And I understand their frustration.
And he was never called for one until that night. Was there?
Well, I got a couple of guys that are on the cusp, too. Believe me, I called down to the bullpen before they come in and go, hey, after what's going on with Richard, heads up about what they might do to us.
Was there a thought last night, and it worked out that you didn't do it because Drew Smith was great, and that could be important down the stretch, but did you give a thought to Diaz coming out for the 10th?
You're talking about Edwin, you broke up there.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Edwin Diaz coming out for the 10th. He struck out the side in the 9th, tie game. He got the whole stupid runner on second rule. Was there a thought to letting Edwin pitch a second inning?
Of course, but I knew Drew would pitch real well. No. nobody knows that. It's of course I did. And of course Jeremy and I talked about it.
What made you decide against it?
His pitch counts up a little bit. He had pitched the night before, and pitching the second inning might have taken him out of the first game of the Atlanta series.
What made you decide to keep Taijuan Walker in to face Brian De La Cruz after he hit him a couple of times?
He had some of the better stuff he's had all year. And, you know, if you had hindsight, you'd look at things differently. But there's a lot of thoughts and a lot of give and take that goes on and things, but I don't have the gift of hindsight.
You said something interesting. I think Craig would be intrigued by this. I was watching your post-game presser, because I watch all of them, Buck. I study them.
Why?
I study them like an event.
Because he's got nothing else in his life.
That's not true.
You understand? His children don't know who he is.
That's not true.
His wife introduced herself to him last night.
Stop. Because I find it entertaining. You said something, and no one questioned like what you were talking about. And if it's private, I understand. You said something happened driving to the ballpark yesterday that was a lot.
What happened
driving to the ballpark yesterday? Was it traffic or something else?
Just traffic. Every day you got challenges.
Okay.
You had some today. I guarantee you.
I did. You had to
go push. You had to say to yourself, "Let's go, suck it up, push."
Oh yes.
You know, I mean, that's life.
Okay.
It is what it is. Whether it's Eduardo, believe me, driving the 30-40 minutes every day, it's. I don't know how you guys do it. I return a lot of phone calls.
It's terrible.
I return a lot of phone calls of people that. I need to call back an old high school buddy, a friend that I haven't been able to return the call. And, you know, what do you call them? Guilt calls?
you use your
time wisely, right?
That's right. By the way, for me being in that car for an hour each way is therapy. I'm not lying.
What about the people you're driving next to? They consider it therapy for you?
Not when I cut them off. They don't. Before we let you go, I had one question, you know. We on radio talk shows, fans, you know, obviously we're never wrong. The Mob's never lost a game. And we like to hold every player, every manager accountable for every decision. And then the rub has always been, well, listen, you give us a really good team that wins a lot of games and goes to the postseason, and we'll be there to support you. We'll sit in the seats and have a sold-out building. And we've not done that for you guys this year. And I'm wondering if you're even aware of that, if the guys are aware of it. But here you are in a legitimate pennant race. You're at home against the Marlins. This has been the case for the last month or two. And you look around at a lot of empty seats. And I'm wondering if you guys are aware of that. And if so, what your thoughts are about your fan base that loves the team, wants to see you win, but they're not coming out to watch. Any thoughts on that?
I love our fan base and support. I said last night the place was electric. And anybody that makes a decision in today's world to come out to a ballpark and go to a game. Think about all the, you know, the challenges you have, whether it be driving, whether it be parking. It's not free. You know, I'm thankful for every person that says, you know what, I want to be a part of this. I can tell you one thing. We travel as good as anybody in baseball. I can't tell you what it meant to us in Oakland those last two games to have our fan base there. I mean, we were ahead of them, and we travel well. They've been supportive. You know, and our guys feed off of that. And we know we're doing something very important to them. And trust me, we take it just as seriously as they do. And I'm just amazed by the fan support we've had all year long, and it's up to us to gain their trust, and that's what we're trying to do.
Get it done this weekend, baby. Get it done, Buck.
It'll make City Field a very interesting place early next week for sure. As always, we appreciate the time. Just out of curiosity, how many hours of sleep did you get last night?
Let's see. Turned out the lights at 6 and started with some baseball stuff we're working on about 10:30.
Wow. All right, so about 4 hours, but less than that. You probably had to wake up and shower, have your coffee, eggs and bacon. So about 3 hours of sleep. That's not bad, huh?
Hey, it's overrated, right?
As we all say, we'll sleep enough when we're dead. There's no doubt about that. Well, listen, good luck. Knock on wood, the weather does hold off. It looks like it's going to. And we'll get the entire series in without any doubleheaders. And we appreciate your time as always and look forward to talking to you in the postseason. And safe travels back home, Buck. Appreciate your time.
Yes, safe driving there, guys. All right.
Thank you. Well, Buck Showalter, everybody.
Use a blinker.
I'm going to try to remember that. Manager of the New York Mets. You get all the answers you wanted there, Evan, or anything concern you?
I get the vibe that Vientos is getting a start tomorrow night. I understand.
See,
it's
so
be
funny. I got the other vibe.
That he's going to start Darren Ruff?
Yeah.
He's not going to start Darren Ruff. He can't start Darren
I'm just
Ruff.
Saying. I got the other vibe.
Just
but
don't
I
tell him
it.
What to do. That's all.
Yeah, well, he didn't like that. Very disrespectful.
I'm not disrespectful. I'm calling it like it is. I'm respectful to the man's career. He's been bad for 2 months. And, hey, look, Buck Showalter makes a lineup out. Did he put Darren Ruff in it recently?
No, he did not.
So what's more disrespectful?
I'm just saying he said you were being disrespectful.
Listen, he's going to protect
his
guy.
You have a history of being disrespectful.
I am not disrespectful. I'm calling
it
like
manager
it is.
Manager comes on, it's like.
That's it.
Well, it's like Sylvester Stallone and Over the Top. He turns a hat around. He's ready. He's ready for the Mets manager, baby.
I was not disrespectful to Buck.
Yeah.
I questioned some of his decisions.
Yes.
But no, I was merely calling out what's obvious to anybody who watches games, which is Darren Ruff has probably lost the trust of being in that starting lineup.
Well, and this what you need to know is the lineup. But we can pay lip service, and I get he's protecting his guy. Are you starting him or not? Look, lately, the answer's been no.
I'll make it very simple.
Yeah.
Luis Guillerme plays second base against the lefty. Escobar plays third. McNeil plays right. Your right-handed DH is Mark Vientos. Period.
Stop. Alta.
That's the best. And Tomas Nito catches. That's the best lineup at this moment that gives the Mets the best opportunity to win.
By the way, only because he's a cagey veteran, been around the block a few times manager, did he not fall for that little trap I set him?
What was your trap?
Take a shot at the fans.
Nah, I wouldn't do that.
I set him up to take a shot at the fans.
He would never do
you
that.
You knuckleheads for not going to watch the Mets play. And by the way, the Mets have no idea why either. So let me help them out. Four words, and it's so simple.
Sign bacon, Allen Judge. What?
Bacon on a stick.
Oh, that's it.
You bring back the bacon that the Yankees stole from you, and the place will be a sellout. You think people are going to Yankee Stadium for Aaron Judge's home run chase?
No.
I say no, sir.
No way.
They're going for bacon on a stick. That's all I got. That's all I got.
I am curious about the flip of DeGrom and Bassett, because he did change the rotation. I know he said he didn't change. He did change the rotation.
Oh, he did. It was going to be Bassett was supposed to pitch tomorrow.
Because what I find fascinating about this, and I actually brought this up on Rico Brogna a month ago because I'm that kind of loser, but now it's relevant. So now me bringing it up is worthy of conversation.
Let's go.
DeGrom is lined up to pitch the final day of the regular season.
Pardon me. Can I get a spoon, Tommy? How am I going to eat the ice cream without a spoon?
They didn't give you a spoon?
No, they don't give you a spoon.
What are you talking about?
Because you don't get, because you ordered ice cream, you didn't order a spoon.
They usually ask you, do you want utensils or would you rather pass on the utensils?
I never fill that box out.
Well,
so now my Ralph's Italian ice is melting because Tommy didn't think that the boss needed a spoon.
What flavor did you get?
I got that mint chocolate we like so much.
I love
do you want
that
some?
Mint nah.
I got it. I'll give you a bowl.
Nope.
I got bowls in my office.
No, thank you.
All right.
Trying to lose weight.
All right.
Trying to make me fat, and I don't appreciate it.
Trying to lose weight.
So he's got DeGrom lined up to pitch the final game of the regular season. Would you risk potentially losing that game? Let's say it's a win and you win the division scenario, because that's the only way you'd pitch, right?
Right.
Would you risk, hey, they don't hit that day. They lose 2-1. And not having DeGrom available in the wild card series?
It's a great question, and because here's the rub on it. You win the game, you're not in the wild card. You get a bye. That's what we're going after, right? So,
and he's in line to pitch game one of the divisional series, yes. No problem.
So to me, if you value the bye, and of course you do, you have to value the bye because now you're in the NLDS.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get the bye, he can pitch game one of the NLDS.
Agreed.
Or if you want him game two because you have Scherzer,
fine.
You have that luxury.
Doesn't matter.
Either one, I agree. So to me, you're already in the postseason. That's not up for debate here. I think you try to win the game to guarantee the bye.
Okay, and by the way, I think a lot of people would agree with you, but let me counter this with this.
Yeah, please.
If you lose the game, which can happen, it's baseball, right?
Yep.
There's a chance Jacob deGrom doesn't pitch in the postseason.
Yes, and then that...
Can you live with that?
And that's on your grave.
No, that exactly. Yep. So you lose that game, and I know it's unlikely you lose that game. It's freaking baseball. You can lose that game.
Right.
You now open a wild card series in 2 days, unless deGrom is pitching on short rest, which I doubt. And if he does, probably not as effectively. Could you risk that?
Wild card's the best of three, right?
Yes.
I mean, I got Scherzer pitching game one. I got to feel pretty good about winning the wild card.
But again, I have laid out a scenario where
Jacob deGrom does not pitch in the postseason.
So, because I thought about this a month ago and figured, yeah, let's do it. But then I'm realizing to myself, I can't risk that. So he set it up that way. Hopefully that game doesn't matter because the Mets have already won the division.
Yeah.
But if that game does matter, Craig.
It's a great question.
That's a tough one, bro.
And it's a question for the ages. If it goes well, it goes well. You're good. If it doesn't go well, your best pitcher or your 1A pitcher, with respect to Scherzer, doesn't step on the field in the wild card
round. The reason why I liked sticking with the original rotation was I liked Bassett in that spot. Third best pitcher. If you happen to lose that game, is it the end of the world he doesn't start game three? Eh.
We'll get into more of this in just a moment. It's Carton and Roberts on the Fan. Essen Weil joining us here shortly. We'll get all your calls as well. That would be the most Mets thing of all time.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.